Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you all to the January 25th meeting of the Board of Education, and I would ask our superintendent to please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Number three on the agenda, changes in the meeting agenda. We have replacement page, item 02, non-instructional personnel schedules B2 and B6. Staff and student recognition.
I think this is the most favorite part of the evening.
It is our favorite part.
It is our favorite part of the evening. So welcome, everyone. Good evening. I have the pleasure of introducing Dr. Brian Biscari.
Good evening. I'm here with Logan, who's one of our fourth graders at Minnesaukee. And it's our honor tonight to recognize one of our staff members. We are fortunate to have this person as a member of our teaching staff at Minnesaukee, and I just wanted to share with you a little bit about the character of this person prior to recognizing him. It came to my attention through a piece of paper that came across my desk, which is our nurse's report on incidents that happen within our school where parents are contacted and we're made aware of incidences that we sign off on. And across my desk came a piece of paper that actually explained that one of our teachers performed the Heimlich maneuver on one of our students during snack time at a time where he was beginning to choke. So reading this, I went down to the teacher and I said, "Anything happened interesting today?" And he shared with me the events that happened on that day. And basically, he noticed that Logan had something lodged in his throat. He had the universal sign for choking up. And Mr. Russo, a very humble member of the Minnesaukee staff, performed the Heimlich maneuver on Logan, dislodging this gummy snack from his windpipe. And then he was escorted down to the nurse. We appreciate Mr. Russo and recognize how humble he is that, you know, he wasn't somebody who just came down to tell the whole story. He followed up with the nurse. We followed up with Logan's family. But Mr. Russo, in just all in a day's work, was just telling us about the business that went on in his room. So Logan and I are here tonight to recognize the heroism of our fourth grade teacher, Mr. Russo, and to thank him. And before we do so, Logan just wanted to say a few brief words.
Thank you so much. I'm very appreciative of you saving me for what I almost died for. So I'm really thankful for you saving me, Mr. Russo, and I'm thankful for you doing everything for me, helping me with math, writing, anything, really. So that's pretty much it. Thank you.
So at this time, we'd like to welcome up Mr. Russo and thank him again. He is a gentleman, very humble, but tonight you certainly deserve this distinction with a certificate recognized by the superintendent and the Board of Education. Thank you, Mr. Russo.
Thank you very much.
Humbled.
we are also very fortunate this evening to introduce Mr. Peter Mallory, who is the Executive Director of Health Education, Physical Education, Recreation, and Athletics.
Thank you. Thank you. Good evening. I'd like to thank the Board of Education, our central administration, and the community for taking time tonight to honor our athletic teams and individuals who competed at the state level this past fall. Ward Melville had an amazing fall with 10 out of 12 teams making the playoffs. We had multiple league champions, multiple county champions, and multiple Long Island champions. We also had 8 New York State scholar athlete teams. Tonight we will specifically honor the teams that made it to the highest level, that being the New York State Championships. I'd like to start by introducing the Long Island Field Hockey Coach of the Year, Shannon Sias. I don't want to embarrass Coach Sias, but I just want to mention that under her leadership and expertise, the field hockey program now has amassed 177 wins and only 31 losses. They've won 13 divisions, 8 counties, 7 Long Island championships, and Coach led them to the state championship in 2008. The best part about this is she has done it and her team with class and humility all the way, and recently they were named the Suffolk County Field Hockey Sportsmanship Team of the Year by the Coaches Association. Coach, come on up.
It is my pleasure to introduce the girls of the Ward Melville Field Hockey Team. This is my 14th season at Ward Melville, where I too graduated and was able to be a member of the team. So it's a great dream of mine to be able to come back and give back. I think one of the best things is that these young ladies really hold themselves with such respect and class. And although out of the 20 girls that we have, more than half of them, believe it or not, will be playing lacrosse at the college level. And I still could not be more proud of them, because when it's time for hockey season, they are giving everything that they have. And I think it's a true testament for the reason why we are so successful. They make it easy to be, to coach them. And they really are a remarkable young group of ladies. And I'm very, very proud of each and every one of them. So I'm just going to introduce them.
I'm just going to just introduce also assistant coach Allison Pinard is going to come up and help us out. And our outstanding junior varsity coach Liz Burns is going to come up and help us out.
Both former graduates and players as well. So Cameron Agostino. Kelly Allen. Kira Kate Alventosa. Jillian Beauvais. Katie Suspides. Shannon Coughlin. Hannah Lorenzen, who also plays on our basketball team, so she's probably at basketball right now, I would think. Kate Mulham. Isabella Nealon. Rosalie Paglia, who we're all jealous of because she's actually in Iceland celebrating her grandmother's 80th birthday right now. Kelly Quinn. Lexi Reinhart. Cassidy Rogers-Helian. Olivia Schmidt. Sydney Tasman. Caitlin Thornton. Kerry Thornton, who was also our Long Island Player of the Year. Kayla Sullivan.
Just give her mine for now. And who was the last one?
and Elizabeth Wang.
Congratulations to the field hockey, Long Island field hockey champions and state semifinalists. It is my pleasure next to introduce one of our longtime successful coaches who has also received an award. Coach Tom Youngs received the Suffolk County Coach of the Year Award for girls cross country. And Coach Youngs, please come up and tell us about the cross country team.
Good evening. I'd like to thank the board for recognizing us this evening and the girls' wonderful season. The girls' varsity cross-country team has been committed wholeheartedly since June 27th, the day our season-long process began. They bought into the culture and attitude that has made our program great for so many years. With shared values, goals, and vision, and a belief in their process, they had made remarkable strides by adopting the motto, "If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together." Well, this group of exceptional student athletes has gone the distance. This past fall, the team captured their second undefeated league title in a row, won the Section 11 Division I championship, and were crowned Suffolk County champions. The team capped off an impressive season with a sixth place finish at the New York State Championship meet. Nine runners earned all league honors, and seven runners that will be represented in a moment earned all county honors. Our top runner, Ashley Warakomsky, was also awarded All-State honors. I'm so proud of the accomplishment of these young ladies, and I'm very thankful to be a part of their amazing journey. Thanks to the unwavering support of the district, especially Athletic Director Pete Mallory, and of course to the parents of these amazing student-athletes, we will continue to develop and further strengthen the tradition of excellence that Ward Melville Athletics stands for. Thank you. Yep, sure. At this time, I'd like to call up the seven runners that compete at the state championship level. Olivia Lane. Maddie Mastriano. Kate Cochran. Allison Gage. Elizabeth Radke. Samantha Sturgis. And Ashley Warakomsky. Most of the girls here standing before you have carried over their success from the fall season into the winter track season. We just actually had two of our relay teams qualify for the prestigious Millrose Games. One of those relays just recently competed over at Yale University in the 4x8 relay and ran the fourth fastest time in the nation. So our success is carrying over.
Congratulations, Coach Youngs and the girls' cross-country team. Next, it is my pleasure to call up the New York State Girls Swimming Coach of the Year, our own Chris Gordon. Coach Gordon has dedicated himself to the boys' and girls' swimming and diving program for 23 years. During his tenure, the girls' team has won 21 league and 21 county championships. 11 of the 12 school records have been set under his guidance and leadership. He has had swimmers and or divers make it to the state level every year he has coached. Coach Gordon has had multiple relay team state champions as well. And I'd like him to be joined by his right-hand man and diving expert, Assistant Jeff Perfetti. Please come up.
Thank you very much for having me tonight. It has been a real honor coaching in Three Village for the past 23 years. Sorry, I wasn't prepared to say anything about myself. I was here to talk about my swimmer, Riley. Really, all of this honor is because of swimmers like Riley, her sister. I calculated about 1,500 swimmers that I've coached in the past 23 years. So it's really all their hard work that has really earned me the honor of Coach of the Year. So I really want to thank them, the athletic directors, like Pete Mallory and Aaron Blaney, Don Webster, Herb Friedman. I'm sure I'm missing one or two in between there. But thank you very much. And thanks to Jeff. He's the best dive coach we've ever had. So I'm going to take a moment to talk about Riley. I will be as quick as I can. And then Jeff, unfortunately, Yael is not here, but he'd like to just say a word or two about Yael and her accomplishments as well, please. So Riley Gavigan has had an amazing first varsity swim season. The swimming community, very much like the running community, really only gauges and compares themselves to times from their races and how far off their personal best times they are. There aren't really any cool statistical categories we talk about, like home runs hit or touchdowns thrown. Most people know what the four competitive strokes are, but not what a good time for a particular event might be. Riley is good at all the competitive strokes, but she has a strength in the breaststroke. I've tried to put together a list of some of Riley's accomplishments in her first varsity season. For example, Riley was 11-0 in her head-to-head races in dual meets this season. She was the league champion in the 200-yard individual medley and the 100-yard breaststroke. At the Suffolk County Championship meet, Riley finished second place in both the 200 individual medley and the 100-yard breaststroke. At the New York State Swimming and Diving Championships this past November, she finished 12th in the 100-yard breaststroke, earning her All-State honors. Finally, Riley set a new school record in the 100-yard breaststroke, bettering the previous record held by Brittany Coughlin by 2 seconds. This is a record that I've seen broken about a half a dozen times in 23 years. In the past, it has always been broken by a senior in her last meet of the season. So maybe the most impressive thing to me is that Riley is just a freshman with what looks like a very bright future ahead of her.
Thank you very much. A little over a year ago, Yael Middleman was a swimmer, not a diver, on the Ward Melville swimming and diving team. Her work ethic and great attitude was noticed by Coach Gordon as he anointed her, or he chose her to be the team captain, one of three. In her junior year, at the end of her junior year, Yael approached us and asked us if it would be all right for her to try out for the diving team, and as a senior. So Coach Gordon told her that if she had a competitive list in her the beginning of her senior year, we'd consider her diving for that year. She dove with me in the off season in the summer a half a dozen times, and she showed that she could be an incredible diver. In August of this past year, the start of our first season, her first season for diving, her first season ever diving, this girl put together a competitive list of dives. In her first meet, she broke, she went counties. In her fourth meet, she broke the school record. And she went on to go into counties, states, and she dove in an 11 dive meet that she required a 440 points to go on to states. She was a high-level gymnast that switched over to diving, and her success in gymnastics, I had everything planned and she was supposed to be here. but she's her work ethic has been just unbelievable. She broke the six dive, the 11 dive record. She went to counties, and in her in the state qualifying meet, she scored a 499 points, which she needed a 440 points to go to states, which allowed her to go to states. She competed for New York State, and in her first year of diving. So it was an unbelievable accomplishment for her, and thank you very much.
As you can see, it was a very busy and successful fall. Finally tonight, I'd like to introduce our extremely dedicated boys cross country coach who coaches three seasons for us and has just done an outstanding job. Coach Greg Cantwell, please come up.
Thank you, everybody, for having us here. Thank you, Pete. Thank you to the board for taking the time out of your day to honor all these kids. Congratulations to the field hockey, the girls cross country, and to the swimming and diving team. I'm up here today to talk about one of my seniors, one of my captains, Matthew Viscosi. If you told me 4 years ago that I'd be up here giving this speech to Matt for Matt, definitely would not have believed you. And that's nothing against Matt. In fact, I kind of consider that a compliment, because track and cross country is one of those sports where sometimes the hard work is going to completely outweigh the natural talent. Not to say that Matt doesn't have a lot, but he definitely put in a ton of hard work over the last 4 years. And my biggest challenge as a coach for Matt is to get him to the starting line on time, because thank God they told us this was at 7, because he probably wouldn't be here by now if they didn't. But Before the one quick story about Matt, before the biggest cross-country race of his life, the county meet, which lets us go to states, he comes up to me 10 minutes before the race, looks at me and says, "Coach, I cut my knee," and points down at his knee, and I'm sure my face got beet red, and I tried to hold it in. I said, "Well, what happened?" He goes, "Oh, I slipped walking up the stairs," and 5 minutes after the race, I find out from one of his best friends that he tried to do a four-stair leap and came up a little short on his warm-up, and thank God it didn't affect him. So now I get to give this speech for him. So, Matt, come on up. Congratulations.
Just in closing, I'd like to thank the board again for taking this amount of time. I know it's a busy meeting, but this is very special. And I just make a note, it seems like here it becomes the norm to have these board meetings and honor athletes and coaches who have competed at the state level. But trust me when I tell you, across Long Island, to compete at the state level is rare. It's not normal. It's extraordinary, but it just seems normal here at Three Village and Ward Melville. We're very, very proud of our athletes and coaches and our parents. Thank you.
As previously stated, this is most definitely the highlight of our evening, and we are so proud of all of our students, staff, and thank you for being here and joining us this evening. Congratulations. And we know that Ward Melville starts very early in the morning. So if our students and their parents would like to leave, please feel free to do so. You're certainly welcome to stay for the board meeting, but if you would like to, we won't be insulted. Thank you.
Nice. Very nice. Just wait a second. I'd like to turn to item 5, which is our first public participation session. It can last up to 30 minutes, and we ask each individual to limit his or her comments to 3 minutes. Is there anyone who would like to address the board at this time? Okay. Turning to item 6, the minutes and bids, the minutes of January 11th, 2017. May I have a motion, please? Dr. Kerman, second Mrs. Gish. Any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? The minutes are approved. Turning to reports, our student representative report. But before I introduce the student representative, I just want you to know he received a very important phone call today from Lee Zeldin, and he's been accepted to West Point for next year. Congratulations, Brandon.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thanks for coming out here. So for the student report, for upcoming events and some news, February 9th is the Cooking for a Cause. It's going to be held in honor of Matt DeGraw. It's from 2:30 to 4:30. It is a chili cook-off. It is in support of Support a Kid. It's a local charity that helped them out. So be there, be square, because you're not around. This week currently is midterm week. It's fun if you're done, and it's really stressful if you're not. Thankfully, I did all my midterms, so I'm good. Tomorrow is the Ward Melville High School Prom Fashion Show from 7 to 11. It's at the Three Village Inn. All the tickets are sold out, so sadly you can't see me in a tux. But if you're going, it's going to be fun. There's going to be a lot of food, some dancing. For awards and accolades, even though we just did that, for the 2016 Suffolk Zone winners, Rosalie Paglia and Andrew McKenna, it is presented by the New York State Physical Education Association, and it's awarded in outstanding character and leadership. There was also different awards for the DECA that attended the regional competition, and they actually placed 4 people first place, 5 for second, 3 for third, and Ward Melville has 4 semifinalists in Instar. And a debate team is also going to states. And Invictus also won the Columbia Scholastic Press Association Crown Award, which is the highest award that could be presented for, I think, magazines and yearbooks. For sports, Ward Melville sports for the track team, the girls' track team. The Milrose qualifier was Allie Gage, Hannah Hobbs, Sam Sturgis, and Sam Rutt. They ran the 4th fastest time in the nation, of a time of 4:40.39. Also, Marina Vostrova and her 55 high hurdle relay team also broke the school record and almost set the league record at the Armory. For guys basketball, they beat first place rivals Brentwood. They're currently 8-1. They have a good chance of winning leagues and even going to counties. For the girls, they're 11-1, and they also have a very good chance to make it all the way through playoffs. For wrestling, they're currently 3rd in the league. Sean Fitzsimmons is placed 8th in the state, and Kenny Cracciola made it into the Century Club, which means he has 100 wins. Cheer is going to Nationals in Disney, and they play 2nd in Suffolk County. Swimming, their 4x400 freestyle team actually broke the school record with a time of 3 minutes and 15 seconds. And that's everything for the student report.
Very good. Thank you. Our report this evening will be about the writing centers at our 3 secondary schools. I'll have Mr. Scanlon do the introductions.
Yes, it's my pleasure to introduce our 3 ELA chair people, Mr. Brian McAuliffe, Mrs. Catherine Duffy, and Mrs. Joanna Catalino.
On behalf of my colleagues, I want to thank everybody for inviting us this evening to talk about the Writing Center. It's something that's very near and dear to all 3 of our hearts. 2 years ago, the Writing Center, was established in the Three Village Central School District within the high school. Prior to its opening, the high school chair, Brian McAuliffe, and high school teacher, Mary McClone, created a mission statement and philosophy. The mission statement helped clarify the Writing Center's goals, which included supporting the teaching of writing and establishing a resource for the entire school community that welcomes students in all grades, in all subject areas, and on all school and on all skill levels. Joanna Catalino, the Gelinas Junior High School chairperson, and I fully embrace this mission statement. The Junior High School Writing Centers, which opened this September, also embrace the established Writing Center philosophy. We want our writing centers to promote the high value we as a district put on writing. It is for this reason that the students visit our writing centers for various purposes, like academic writing or writing for self-expression. We encourage students to bring in writing from across curriculum areas. And because our ultimate goal is to give our student writers the skills to become better and more independent writers, we focus on the writing process. At this time, I'd like to invite Joanna Catalino to the microphone so she can elaborate about our protocols.
Good evening, and thank you again for inviting us here tonight to speak about the Writing Center. I'd also like to take a moment to thank the staff that has come out tonight to support this wonderful initiative. The procedures and protocols are similar at both the junior high school and the high school. Students can either make an appointment to come down for a 15 to 20 minute session or just drop in if availability allows. Depending on the assignment, Depending on the assignment, teachers may either recommend or require that students make an appointment and come down to visit the Writing Center. Furthermore, we recommend that students come with an area of concern or a specific focus that they would like to work on so that the 15 to 20 minute time session can be used efficiently. Aside from working on the basic writing process, such as planning and revision, as Mrs. Duffy mentioned, students have been encouraged to bring writing from all disciplines to the Writing Center. Either through the use of Chromebooks or standard desktop computers, students can access and work on their writing electronically. This has been very helpful, especially given that so many teachers post their assignments today on Google Classroom. For teachers that give out hard copies, we have a filing cabinet located in both junior high school writing centers where we keep copies of the assignments from various teachers, so when students come down, we can pull the assignment out, not only guide them in the writing process, but make sure they're answering the writing prompt and task itself. As you can see from the bulleted list, we cover several things. As Ms. Duffy mentioned, academic essays, social studies DBQs. We have also seen some interest in creative writing and writing contests, both the DuPont essay and the NCTE and the Walt Whitman Poetry Contest have all been pieces that students have brought down to get some assistance with, and it's been very, very successful. Aside from that, as Mr. McAuliffe will also speak to, research papers and speeches have also been brought to the Writing Center for assistance. Thank you.
Good evening. Thank you. At the high school, we have had the center for, this is our third year now. And from the start, we adopted the nickname, the writer's block, a little clever name there. And we have recently adopted a logo, which a former English teacher who is pretty good at design has done for us. We kind of like that. It fits the name. I have to give Mary McGlone here a tremendous amount of credit for what she has done to move this this service along. She has kept a lot of data for us, for one thing, a lot of information about the usage of the center. And this is a list of the reasons why students would come to the center. And by the way, what we mean by conferences is one-to-one conferences. Students come for as few as 10 minutes, maybe as long as 30 minutes, for a variety of purposes. And those are kind of in order of the most popular. The college essay, for instance, was extremely popular, a popular reason in the fall, which makes sense. That's when seniors are submitting their college essays. Academic essays throughout the year, students come for that reason. And research papers, that's very popular later in the year when most teachers assign them in the spring. And then you can see the other reasons students come down. They're less popular. But we are reaching out. That's one of our goals, to expand beyond those top three. And it's just kind of interesting. I'm going to point to the last one, emails to coaches, especially since we had athletes here today. Coach Negus, every year since that we've done this, has brought his lacrosse team down to get some help, some feedback with regard to emails to coaches. This is a graph that shows the growth. You can see in the fall of 2015, that was the usage. Those were the number of conferences we had. It increased in the spring of 2016. And then this year, it has really skyrocketed. Partly that's due to our making it available 10 periods a day. So we have it fully staffed now. The other reason for that, again, Mary has done a lot of outreach, and she's pushed into classes. We find that students, when they visit, realize, hey, this is good, and they come back. And more teachers are requiring the Writing Center as part of an assignment, or strongly advising that students do it. And Brandon knows what I'm talking about, right? I would like to, Brandon is in my class right now, and I just would like to point out something else that's been a benefit of the Writing Center. It has raised our consciousness as teachers, I believe, in terms of the teaching of writing, the instruction of writing. I've been around long enough to say that in the old days, writing instruction could be boiled down to you give an assignment, you collect the assignment, you grade it, and you hope they learn from your comments. But since then, we've really evolved, and we understand that we have to teach writing as process. And having the Writing Center has helped us do that, to be more conscious of how to get students to be aware of the process. So we want students to come down not just at the end when it's time to edit, but all along. So if they're stuck at the beginning, we'd like them to come down and talk about it. Or if they have a mess and they want to organize it, we'd like them to come down. So it has helped us raise our own consciousness about how to get students aware of and use the writing process more effectively. Looking ahead, I know, Kevin, you're going to be disappointed. This is our last slide. In the high school, we are going to continue our outreach. So far, mostly English students have come down, and mostly seniors, and again, because of the college essay. But we are working to get other grades and other disciplines involved. So we, and I especially Mary, will continue to push into classes. Sometimes she'll do workshops. She'll work on particular skills with classes when the teacher requests this. And we're talking about offering some period 10 workshops. Period 10 is when students don't have classes, so we're open at that time. And we'd like to revive a practice that we tried a few years ago, where we had Stony Brook's pre-service teachers, before they student teach, they're in their preparation classes, and they're being trained in writing coaching. And they're very good. They love it. Our students love having Stony Brook students there. So we're going to bring that back in at some point this year. Junior high school, of course, they want to maintain their availability. And because it's new, they're working on increasing participation. And they would like, and I suppose we would like too, to create an online appointment system. So, yep, that's it. I suppose if you have any questions, we'd be happy to take them.
Any questions?
Yeah. Well, I just want to say thank you for what you guys do down there. I think that we all believe strongly that we provide a good education to our students, but I think that the ability to write well and to write clearly, I can't think of one of the of a more obvious manifestation of that education as demonstrated in good writing. So thank you very much for what you do to help support our mission and for your good work. And you know, I know that the whole board and the cabinet's behind you. So yeah. Thank you.
Amen.
We really appreciate the support.
I would really like to thank our English chairs and their staff. This initiative has been one of the ones that we are extremely proud of. And for that reason, really want to see this continue. Our students have benefited tremendously from it. And the feedback, not only from the staff and the students, but their parents, has been tremendously positive. So thank you for all of your effort.
Turning to item 8, items for board discussion. This evening we're going to be giving some preliminary budget information. Mr. Carlson?
Thank you. At the next meeting, February 8th, is when we really start talking about the budget, and then after that is when we get into the more detailed information as we progress throughout budget season. But tonight I'd like to give you the information that we have so far. And, of course, each year one of the key factors is what is the tax levy, maximum tax levy percent increase for this coming up year, or the tax cap. For this coming up year, it is 1.26%. That's based on the increase in the consumer price index. So when you know when we talk, it's the 2% tax cap. Well, for this year, it's not 2%. It's 1.26%. However, last year was 0.12. So by comparison, this is good. You know, the funny thing about the tax cap, when it first came out, and us and a lot of school districts throughout the state, you know, were very opposed to the idea. The funny thing now is with the CPI being so low the last several years, we have a lot of districts now passing resolutions asking the governor to make the cap 2%. You know, it's just kind of funny that if you told them, you know, 7 or 8 years ago they'd be asking for a 2% tax cap, they'd say we were crazy, but that's life. Anyway, so the 1.26%, that's only a piece of it, though. In addition to that, there's what's called a tax-based growth factor, which relates to new construction in the district, and that varies district to district. It can, it can't go down. It can't be a negative number, but some districts get nothing. Some, you know, it all depends on the construction. In our case, for this coming year, we get an additional 0.2% on our tax levy because of that. So it really makes our cap for next year 1.46%. So that translates into a little over $2 million increase in the tax levy, the most we can increase it. So what we have to do then is we have to build a budget to conform to that. And based on the preliminary information that we've put together, the staffing projections, enrollment trends, all of that, we will not need to cut anything because of budgetary reasons for this coming up year. We haven't had any surprises this year. The governor came out with his budget proposal last week, and there was no surprise in that either. We were not expecting an increase in state aid. We're not going to get much of an increase in state aid. We don't know what the final numbers yet. The governor's number is just his proposal. Once the state senate, state assembly go through it, and then when they, by the time they all agree and have the state budget in place, it will probably go up from that number. It generally does, but we should not expect much in the way of state aid. We were, have not been expecting it, and we probably will not get. Most of the governor's increase in next year's state aid is related to foundation aid, which, without going into too much detail, the nitty-gritty, because I, you know, super boring, but does us no good. No good whatsoever. We don't get anything more in foundation aid because of an increase. If anybody wants the details on that, I'd be happy to go over with you, but that does us no good at all. So I know Gary and Kevin are saying, yeah, we want to hear the details. don't worry, you'll hear all about it. Use of reserves, we decreased the amount of reserves in the last couple of years. We were using as much as $6.5 million in our reserves and fund balance just a few years ago, and that's been reduced to only $1 million. So that's great. It gives us a lot of flexibility in budgeting. Capital projects are excluded from the tax cap, so our plan is to continue doing capital projects, keeping up on our buildings. As I said, it's excluded from the cap, so that works out pretty well as far as that goes. At next month's Facilities Committee meeting, I'll be presenting to the Facilities Committee suggested recommendations of capital projects for next year. And also, a piece of information that just came out from the State Comptroller's Office. In 2013, they began what's called the Fiscal Stress Monitoring System. And it's designed to look at a number of factors, and not just school districts, but all municipalities throughout the state, to look for financial strain. And the categories are fund balance and reserves, operating deficits, cash ratios, and short-term debt. And there are a number of points assigned for each thing. The lower the points, the better. That points translate into a percentage, and again, the lower the percentage, the better. The category, the results go into categories of significant fiscal stress, moderate fiscal stress, susceptible to fiscal stress, and no designation, which is what we For each of the years that this has been in place, we've gotten the note designation, and which is anything below 25% of 100%, of course. And each of the 3 years, last 3 years, our percentage is 8.3%. And the reason for that is the only points that we do get are related to short-term debt, which is our tax anticipation note. And that's strictly cash flow because, you know, our fiscal year starts July 1st. Our real expenses start in September when everybody's on payroll. And we don't start collecting property taxes until January. So we need to borrow each year, as do most school districts.
What's our annual TAN cost these days?
Well, the last few years, our TAN has been $26 million. The actual cost is so low, the rates that we pay. It's short-term debt. We borrow it in the beginning of the year, pay it back at the end of June. It's about, under a quarter of a percent is what we actually pay. So it really costs us very little. And what we do, actually, is we borrow the money in the summertime. We have 6 months to spend that money. So we borrow it in the summertime. And our low point cash flow-wise every year is always December. In January, that's when the property taxes start coming in. So as long as we spend that money, tax anticipation note, by the end of December, we're okay as far as IRS and the arbitrage rules. So what we do, though, is while we don't need the money yet in the summer, we invest that money. And all our investments are fully guaranteed by the U.S. government, so there's no risk. Interest rates are low because of that, but we do it. It's actually the interest rates that we deposit that are higher than what we pay. So it actually pays for itself. So it's ultimately not either no or very low cost for us to actually issue those tax anticipation.
I remember it used to be hundreds of thousands.
Oh, it used to, years ago, interest rates used to be, 5-7%. Yeah. And then it cost a lot of money. Yeah. Not so much anymore. And the only way, there's only two ways to get around issuing a tax anticipation note, or a combination of two. One is they would have to change the property tax payment schedule, which I don't think is ever going to happen. And the other is to build up our reserves so much that we wouldn't need that, which, that's not a reason to build up reserves, just so we don't have to issue a tax anticipation note. So, anyway, so the only points that we get are for that, but it still keeps us in that no designation range. Now, these results we just got these, so they have not been released to the general public yet, but I'm sure they will be soon. And I'm sure we'll be reading about it in Newsday. I don't know which districts on Long Island or throughout the state or have the other categories, though. I'm sure will be some, but we'll be reading about that. So, and really, that's all I had for tonight. I mean, we'll start at the next board meeting with some more of the budget information.
Good. Thank you very much. Turning to 9 items for board action. With the board's permission, what I'd like to do is combine items E through N. That's the claims auditor's report for October and November, the district treasurer's report for the same period, financial reports, extra classroom activities reports, transfer of funds under $10,000, approval of budgetary transfer over $10,000, acceptance of donations, approval of health and welfare services contract, approval of a contract with an outside service provider for special educational tutoring services, and the declaration of surplus equipment. We have a motion on that. Yes.
Is it possible to remove the donations? I think those should be noted individually. Jeff should be those. The rest should be.
Well, we were going to do that. Okay. We can. Okay. Okay, we'll do that separately. We'll remove K, and we'll do that separately. But the other items, okay? May I have a motion on that, Dr. Kerman? Second, Mrs. Germano? Any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Now getting back to the acceptance of donations. Jeff?
Yes, we have 4 donations tonight. The first is a check in the amount of $480.01. from the Minnesota PTA for art supplies to use for a mural. And a scholarship check in the amount of $250 donated by Munistat Services to be awarded to a high school student. By the way, Munistat Services, they do a lot of the work on our, coincidentally, our tax anticipation notes. pure coincidence, that's on here for tonight. A check in the amount of $200 donated by Sherry O'Shea from Dazzlebar to the Ward Melville High School Scholarship Fund. And a check in the amount of $318.40 from General Mills Box Tops for Education for Minnesota Elementary School.
So moved. Dr. Kerman?
Second.
Second, Mrs. Gish. Any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Turning to O1 personnel matters, instructional. Gary, anything? No? Okay. May I have a motion on that, please? Mrs. Germano, second. Mrs. Gish. All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries.
Mr. Connors, I would like to bring up, though, what you did just vote on. And congratulate the following people. As you know, the teacher retirements are starting to come in, and we have four retirements tonight that total about 106 years of service here in Three Village. So I'd like to recognize and congratulate Rich Anzalone, special ed teacher for Murphy, Carol Doherty, special ed teacher from Mount, Bob Gesner, Ward Melville High School tech teacher, and Sandy Greenstein, district-wide special ed chairperson. Congratulate them all and their years of service here.
And now I'd like to turn to personnel matters, non-instructional. Okay.
Nothing unusual.
Nothing unusual. No. We did instructional. We didn't do non-instructional.
Correct.
We didn't vote on. I'm sorry. Okay.
We voted on it.
Okay. Now, she remembers. It's personnel matters, non-instructional. Mrs. Germano, second. Mrs. Gregolia? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Gary, anything on the non-instructional? Okay, very, very good. Turning to P, the recommendations of the Committee on Special Education for the meeting dates stated. May I have a motion on this, please? Mrs. Gish, second. Mrs. Gregolia? All in favor, opposed, abstention, motion carries. And turning to Q, the recommendations of the Committee on Preschool Special Education for the meeting dates stated. May I have a motion on that? Mrs. Gish, second. Mrs. Regolia, all in favor, opposed, abstention, motion carries. And turning to item number 10, informational items of interest. There's an item that I would like to bring up. This past Saturday, the Suffolk County School Superintendents Association presented an advocacy workshop entitled Meeting the Challenges of the Changing Face of Long Island Public Education. And many Suffolk County school districts were represented. We were there. There were 12 or 13 people, consisted of teachers, administrators, board members, PTA. Very, very interesting. And it shows the various types of social and economic changes taking place in a relatively short period of time. I learned a heck of a lot, a heck of a lot. When you think of the affluent Long Island, and now a third of Long Island students, a third of Long Island students are eligible for free or reduced lunches. That didn't happen 10 years ago, and they showed the numbers, what it was like in 2008 and 2016, 17, many, many statistics like that. So we're changing in so many ways. We're not as affluent as perhaps we used to be and so forth. It was very interesting. Any comments from anybody? Mrs. Gish was there.
Just that I found it very interesting. Just the demographics of where, what districts are increasing in the number of special needs children, in their children who are on free and reduced lunch, on their children who need English language instruction. It was just an eye-opener to me. I mean, some of the districts I wasn't surprised, but when I looked at us and where we are, it was surprising. It really was.
Well, was it surprising, too? They showed the enrollment trends.
Yeah.
And the districts where the enrollment was going up and the districts that where enrollment was going down, like us, many similar districts, I'm talking about Commack, Hartbog, Smithtown, Half Hollow Hills, we were here, whereas many of the high needs district enrollment is going up. I mean, there was a situation last summer, it's in Nassau County, where during the summer in Hempstead, 1,200 students out of nowhere came in and so forth. Where do you begin to deal with a situation like that? So thank God we're not dealing with it. But anyhow, we learned an awful lot, an awful lot. It was very, very interesting. Cheryl, do you have any comments about that?
Now, just to add to what Ms. Gish and Mr. Connors has said, it was extremely interesting. And with regard to Three Village, we've also experienced, I've been here a very long time, as have many of our board members, and have seen an evolution within our district, as our staff has, in terms of a changing population. It hasn't been as drastic as school districts such as Riverhead or Hempstead or Central Islip, Brentwood, have experienced some major changes. And being able to address the needs of an ENL population, which is students whose first language is not English, has changed significantly, because many of the students who are coming into these districts have not had formal education in their own district. So can you imagine what happens when a student comes in at 17 years of age and has had maybe 1 or 2 years of any kind of formal education in their country? So how do you begin to educate those students who really have very significant needs, and finding materials that are developmentally appropriate for them? Remember that up until age 21, we can educate a student. But many of these students are coming in at 17 and 18 and have missed a significant portion of their educational careers. So I think we're seeing a lot of those changes. Three Village has seen some changes in our ENL population, not anywhere to the degree that our colleagues, I'm going to say mostly on the South Shore, have experienced. So it was very enlightening, definitely. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else? I'd like to turn now to our second public participation session. Is there anyone who would like to address the board at this time? Seeing none. Do I have a motion for adjournment, please? Mr. Germano, second. Mrs. Gish. Good evening, everyone.